Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Funny thing about Romans chapter 12, I love this chapter. It's simple. It's in your face. And there were not a lot of simplicities as we went through, you know, chapters 5, 6, and 7, and then in 9 and 10. I mean, you know, it wasn't real simple. A lot of doctrinal stuff. But then in chapter 12, we get practical. We've learned the doctrine. We understand what salvation is. But now we're going to get into the practical Christian living. And this is great. So here we are. Most of us are born-again believers in Jesus Christ. If you're not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, today is the day. Give your heart to Him today. And you know what? We better pray. Father, I just pray that You would bless this time, that I would speak Your Word with boldness, that I would be led by Your Spirit, that You would be the one speaking to us here this morning. Help me not to take myself so seriously. Help me, Lord, to just give this whole thing up to You. That You would be blessed, Lord, and that Your people would be drawn closer and closer to You. Thank You so much, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I got a fur ball. First of all, I have to say this before we go on. I cheated you last week, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what happened? I have a tendency to just have more to say than I have time to say it. And then, so I always cheat you on the last few verses. I'm always going too fast, and then I'll go ahead and skip things from my notes, like I follow them anyway. And we got done with the gift of mercy last week. And it says something really funny there, so I just want to catch this real quick before we go on to verse 9. It says, "He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And I spoke about what that gift of mercy is and how, you know, it's to show pity, compassion, and how this, those who have the gift of mercy actually really, honestly hurt for other people. When other people are going through this horrible thing, whatever they're going through, the person with the gift of mercy just experiences pain for that person, and which, you know, you can call that a gift. At times, I have felt like it's a curse because I have that gift. You know, and I had shared with you that, you know, one lady was telling me all her stuff, and I fell apart while she was sharing her stuff with me. And I broke down in tears, and there she was, patting me on the back. It's okay, it's okay. And so, you know, it can be a real, and but that is why, and this is the word I left off. How can you have that gift and show it with cheerfulness? Because even the word cheerfulness comes from the Greek word there, comes from a word that means hilarity. That means, you know, when you're hurting so much that you're crying and sobbing and that you're supposed to do it. You know, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But see, that same word, it also means with an eagerness. And so that's what I believe is being said here, that those of you who have the gift of mercy, to do it, to be ready to do it with eagerness. And what, you know, for instance, you may know somebody who's in the hospital who needs you, who needs a brother or sister to come alongside them and pray with them and be with them. And you might be on your way to go to Disneyland or something, and you would think to yourself, well, let's see, I laugh and smile and have a great time at Disneyland, but when I'm with somebody who's hurting, my whole body falls apart in a big pile of tears. So, you know what? I'm going to skip out on the mercy thing today. But, as the Bible tells us, if you've got that gift, use it. Give yourself up and use it. So, end of last week's message. Now, this week's message. You know, we spoke about the gifts last week, and working as one body, we are all different pieces and parts to the one body of Christ, and so we work together like a team, a good team. But now Paul brings up love. My intention was to do 5 verses for you, but we're only going to do 2. Sorry. And Paul brings up love, and when we talk about love, understanding this in regard to what we talked about last week, gifts that the Lord gives us so that we can edify one another and build up the church. Understand this about the gifts as Paul now brings up love, and that is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profit me nothing. Meaning that, you see, our law as Christians is love. Jesus broke it down in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, as the Pharisees asked him, what's the most important law? And he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that right there is the fulfillment of keeping the entire law of the Old Testament. Some 600 and something different laws and regulations and prohibitions and things that were given to the Jews. Jesus just breaks it down and says, hey, look, love God, love people. That is life right there. That is real life. That is real love. Now, Jesus said this, but also, one more little point in regard to this. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Notice Jesus says, this whole world is going to know that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ by your love for animals? Okay, no. By your love for... Now, here we go. We can, you know, that was a cute one, right? But what about this? By your love for the Bible? By your love for, prayer? Your love for helping with the Vacation Bible School? No. Jesus made it plain. You know how people can tell whether or not you belong to me, he says? If you love each other. Funny thing about love, everybody, this whole world desires to love and to be loved. Doesn't matter, you can go to church or not go to church. The biggest problem in the hearts of the people in this world is that they feel like, gosh, you know, I just want to be loved, or I want to experience this love thing, you know, and most people will even say that that's the meaning of life. You know, what you do, we ought to do this sometime, or some of you who have the nerve to do it. Go get yourself a cup of coffee over there at Headlands and walk from table to table and ask them what the meaning of life is. Okay, besides all the weird cosmic answers you'll get, it will all boil down to love. And they will all speak, hey, love, that's the thing. You know, in fact, every song on the radio, I'm talking on heathen radio, I'm not talking Christian radio, every song on the radio has something to do with love. You know, love, love, love. Everybody's going for love. But the problem with this is that you know, and so you could say, okay, the world's figuring it out. You know, they don't really need to follow Jesus in order to figure out this, you know, loving each other and stuff, because that's what we're supposed to do, you know. But there are different definitions of the word love. That's the big problem. It has a lot of definitions. And so after you've interviewed your friends down there, what you do is then, you say, okay, can you define love? Define love. And now you'll get a lot of weird things, but the thing that I hear a lot when I ask people, because I'll ask people these funny questions, like, well, what do you mean by love? They'll say, well, it's that feeling you get, you know, when you're getting that feeling of love. And people do. A lot of it, they just think it's a feeling that they're going for. And certainly love can feel very good. But see, the love spoken of here is true love. It is godly love. The Bible says in 1 John that God is love. Therefore, since He is love, that means He is the originator of it. So He's the one who decides what love is. Careful of the, you know, that little twist people like to say, well, if God is love, that means love is God. That means that great feeling and that, you know, then that is all from God. Wrong. God is love. God is the creator of love. And so God is the one who defines what real love is. And the word we have, the word agape, we've heard that word before. And really, a very simple definition, unless you want to get into, they have a